Here we have a house purchased in July 1992 and sold 18 years later in July 2010. In July 1994, the house was converted such that the top floor became used exclusively as a workshop for business purposes. The top floor comprised one quarter of the total floor area of the house. The entire property was sold in July 2010 at a capital gain of £180,000. What we'll do here is to consider the effect that the business use of the property will have on the principal private residence relief. Between July 1992 and July 1994, all of the property was used as living accommodation. The whole of this two-year period will therefore qualify for full PPR relief. As the whole of the property has been used as living accommodation at some stage during the period of ownership, full PPR relief can be claimed in the last 36 months. Therefore, 100% of the capital gain is exempt for 5 out of the 18 years of ownership. This leaves a 13-year period between July 1994 and July 2007 where the property was partly used for business purposes and partly used as living accommodation. PPR relief can therefore be claimed on 75% of the gain arising in this 13-year period. The property was sold at a capital gain of £180,000, from which we must deduct PPR relief. Full PPR relief is available for 5 of the 18 years of ownership, giving an exemption of £50,000. Only 75% of the gain is exempt during the middle 13 years of ownership, giving an exemption of £97,500. The total PPR relief is therefore £147,500, leaving a gain of £32,500. The important thing to note here is that as the whole of the property has been used as living accommodation at some point during the period of ownership, the whole of the gain in the final 3 years will be exempt from tax. If part of the property had been used exclusively for business purposes throughout the entire period of ownership, part of the gain arising in the final 3 years would be chargeable to tax. Finally, in this session, let us consider how we deal with the situation where an individual has more than one private residence. If no action is taken, HMRC will determine which of the two properties is the principal private residence for CGT purposes, as a matter of fact. Usually the property which is most commonly used as a main residence will be regarded as the PPR. However, the taxpayer can instead make an election to nominate one of the residences as his PPR for CGT purposes. This need not necessarily be the residence in which the taxpayer spends the majority of his time, although it is necessary for the individual to actually reside in both residences from time to time. Typically, the taxpayer will elect for whichever of the properties is standing at the largest capital gain to be his principal private residence. As a general rule, a taxpayer can only have one principal private residence at any given time. The PPR rules do not normally allow exempt periods to overlap. However, do not forget that the last 36 months of ownership of a property is always treated as exempt, as long as the taxpayer has actually occupied the property as his private residence at some time beforehand. Therefore, if a taxpayer purchases a second residence and makes an election for the second residence to be treated as his PPR, as long as he sells the first residence within 3 years, he will have two exempt residences for that period. The other periods of absence, which we looked at earlier, will not be considered periods of deemed occupation if the taxpayer has another property which qualifies as his private residence at the same time. If a taxpayer wishes to nominate a second residence as his PPR, he must make an election to that effect within 2 years of acquiring the second property. Finally, on this subject, where a husband and wife are living together, they may only have one qualifying PPR between them. It is not possible for a husband and wife to each own a property and for each of them to elect for the different properties to be their own respective PPRs. When spouses separate, this will usually result in one of the spouses leaving the matrimonial home. This will mean that the property is no longer the PPR of the person who moves out. If the house is subsequently sold within 3 years of the spouse vacating the property, PPR relief will continue to be available to cover the period between moving out and the date of disposal, as the last 36 months rule will apply.
However, if more than 3 years elapse between one spouse moving out and the subsequent disposal of the property, a period of absence will be created and a capital gain could arise.
A measure of relief is available where
a couple separate, one partner ceases to occupy the property, and his or her share of the property is subsequently transferred to the former spouse as part of a financial settlement, for example on divorce. In this case, the property can continue to be treated as the PPR of the transferring partner, provided that the property has continued to be the only or main residence of the former partner throughout the period since separation. Therefore, where a husband leaves the matrimonial home while still owning it, PPR relief will be available on a subsequent transfer of the property to the wife. The only proviso is that the husband in this case has not elected for another property to be his PPR in this period.
There are two practice questions to complete this session. First, let us split Keith's ownership periods into periods of occupation and periods of absence. Keith has 5 years of actual residence between March 1994 and March 1999. Keith moved out in March 1999 and never returned to the property. As he had lived in the property at some point, the last 3 years between March 2008 and March 2011 are treated as deemed occupation. Therefore, the intervening period of 9 years between 1999 and 2008 is treated as a period of absence.
The deemed occupation rules will not apply here, as Keith never returned to the property. Therefore, out of the 17 years of ownership, Keith has 8 years of occupation and 9 years of absence. Keith sold the property and made a capital gain of £510,000. Keith's PPR relief is therefore 8/17 of £510,000, being £240,000. This will leave Keith with a gain after PPR relief of £270,000. However, as Keith had let the property as residential accommodation during the period of absence, he'll be able to claim lettings relief. The lettings relief will be the lowest of three numbers. The lettings relief cannot exceed the PPR relief of £240,000. We next consider the gain in the let period. The property was let for 9 of the 17 years. The gain in this period is £270,000. Finally, the maximum lettings relief is capped at £40,000.
The lettings relief is therefore £40,000, giving Keith a gain of £230,000. Chris bought a house in Brighton in February 1997 and always lived there. The Brighton house stopped being his PPR in February 2006 when Chris elected for his London flat to be treated as his main residence. He therefore has 9 years of actual occupation eligible for relief. Chris sold the Brighton house in February 2011. Therefore, the final 3 years of ownership will also be treated as occupation. Remember that as long as the property has been actually occupied as a main residence at some stage, the last 3 years are always exempt. The 2 years in the middle, that is from February 2006 to February 2008, will not be exempt, as in that period Chris had elected for his London flat to be his PPR. Therefore, out of Chris's 14-year ownership period, he has 12 years of occupation and 2 years of absence. Chris sold the Brighton house, making a capital gain of £140,000. 12/14 of this is exempt, leaving Chris with a gain of £20,000. Note in this example that between February 2008 and February 2011, Chris effectively had two principal private residences due to the way that the last 36 months rule is applied. This concludes this lecture on further aspects of principal private residence relief.